The question was asked, why is it that we assume that previous generations knew more Torah than latter generations? So first, let's find the source for that assumption. Who said we assume that? So we do find, in the Talmud, in the beginning of Tractate Megillah, the Talmud assumes that a later generation would not argue on the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, the men of the Great Assembly. We also find, the Tosefta in Sanhedrin tells us, that during the period of the disciples of Hillel and Shammai, so they did not learn by their teachers enough, and so you had a great descent in the quality of knowledge, and then you had many more machloket. You had many machlokot, many disagreements as to what the halacha and the tradition is. We generally do not define it by generation. We define it by period. So throughout the period of the Rishonim, you do find that later Rishonim, meaning you have the period of the Mishnah, you have the period of the Talmud, you have the period of the Rabbanon Savaroi, you have the Gaonic period, and then you have the period of the Rishonim from somewhere around, let's say, around 850, 900, till around 1400. So in that period, you do find that later Rishonim disagree with earlier Rishonim. The Rush disagrees with the Rambam. The Tosfos disagree with the Rambam. The Rambam disagrees with the Gaonim. The Rambam won't disagree with the Gemara. So it's not divided the way that was suggested. It's not divided based on the generation. I can't argue with someone who lived 100 years ago. I can if I'm big enough. I can. But rather, it is divided according to periods, broader periods. So you have the period of Rishonim, and in truth, that's why we give the periods names. Meaning, who decided that until the 1400s they were Rishonim and afterwards they're Achronim? Where did it say that? So the answer is that at some point the rabbis realized that they are not on the level of their predecessors and that they cannot argue on their predecessors. They realized that about themselves. So within the period of the Rishonim, you find earlier Rishonim arguing, later Rishonim arguing on earlier Rishonim. Within the period of Achronim, you find the Shach argues on the Shulchan Aruch. The Magen Avraham argues on the Shulchan Aruch. The Taz argues on the Shulchan Aruch. So within the period of Achronim, you do find that the Achronim will argue, and sometimes in a gap of 200 years. The Noda Yehuda argues on the Shulchan Aruch. So that's a gap of 300 years. But they're all within that period of Achronim. So it's true that we say from the time the Torah was given, later generations are less than earlier generations, but it's not such an exact science that my grandfather must have been bigger than I am. No. the assumption is there are periods. And then you go down a step. Meaning what happens is... let's take the first example of this that we have, the first simple example, and that is with the disciples of Hillel and Shammai, where suddenly there's a lot of war and persecution, and the Romans are ravaging the academies, and they're torturing rabbis to death, and suddenly you can't study the way you could before. So the students of Shammai and Hillel just cannot be on the level of their predecessors because they don't have the ability to sit down and learn. Then you hit the late 1300s and you have the Crusades and you have the decrees to burn the Talmud and you have a situation where, again, there's massive persecution of Torah learning. And the Torah learning really suffers a tremendous blow. You have the Holocaust. And since the Holocaust, Bemet, you find that many of the rabbis today are hesitant to argue on a Mishnah Brura or to argue on a commentary from only 100 years ago. Because our tradition has suffered a blow. You can't deny that. We have a problem. there's this gap that the Holocaust caused. So it's true, we were left with remnants. And I'm not saying that a rabbi today cannot argue on a Mishnah Brura. I'm just saying that it usually goes in periods. It goes in broader periods of a half a millennium, not in periods of a year or even a century. You find Tanoim, later Tanoim, argue on earlier Tanoim. Rabbi Akiva argues on the earlier generations, and Halacha is like him. Rabbi Meir argues on Rabbi Akiva, argues on other Tanoim. You find later Tanoim can argue on earlier Tanoim without a problem. Amoraim, same thing. Later Amoraim can argue on earlier Amoraim. So we work with periods. And most often you'll find that when the period changes, it's during a time of tremendous persecution. Now that is the understanding of Rav Shri Raigon in his famous letter, Igelot Rav Shri Raigon. Maimonides takes a different route. Maimonides, when he discusses what happened in the period of the students of Hillel and Shammai, Maimonides says, in heaven they sometimes make the whole Jewish people go down a step. So it's heavenly ordained that the students of Hillel and Shammai could not attain the same level as their predecessors. It's not because they weren't working hard enough. So Maimonides does not attribute it to the external factors, but rather he says it's something more spiritual. Interesting. Ordinarily we think Maimonides would go with the more natural, the simpler understanding. And here Maimonides doesn't. Maimonides says the reason that you had this descent in Talmudic capacity was because from heaven they decided that generation onward, they would be less. I'm not sure that the difference between Maimonides and Rav Shri Raigon is that great. But at any rate, we do see that there are periods. And when the periods end, the rabbis themselves see that they are no longer worthy of arguing on their predecessors. And then it's the rabbis, each one sees for himself, I can't argue on them. And they come to that conclusion. But you also see exceptions. You do see exceptions. You see a Gra. You have a shining light where the Gra says, I can, and he does. You have a Shagas Aryeh. You have exceptions. You have rabbis who learned and got tradition and worked their head off and were super geniuses. And then they say, I can, and they're accepted. You also have heretics. You have quacks. And they say, I can. I mean, there are people today who say, I can argue on the Shulchan Aruch, and I can argue on Rishonim. And okay, say that. You see that no one accepts them. I mean, they very often get a following, but they're not generally accepted in the public, because the public does not agree that they're on that level. With the Gra, no one came out and said, oh, the Gra is not worthy. Same thing with the Shagas Aryeh. So there were exceptions, and they were really exceptional. They weren't quacks. Just because a person wants to be an exception doesn't make him an exception. But you did have exceptions, and then they could argue on their predecessors. Obviously, they weren't looking to argue. But if they learned, and they had the tradition, and they had the breadth of knowledge to come to a different halakhic conclusion, then they had the capacity to disagree with the predecessors. The Talmud doesn't say you cannot argue with the predecessors. The Talmud says you can only do it if you're bigger than them. And the assumption is that we generally are not.
What about in a particular